is Dr. Arcee, your co-host of Doc Talk Live. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a wonderful show for you all today. Our show is aimed towards educating and bringing awareness to our male listeners, and the topic is prostate and testicular cancer. And today we have Dr. Asad Dean in the studio with us. To be part of the conversation, please call 972-235-5555. Again, that number is 972-235-5555. We'll be happy to take your questions live throughout the show. Dr. Dean, welcome to Doc Talk Live. Thank you very much for volunteering your time to be part of this show. Please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Thank you so much, Dr. Arcee. It's a pleasure to be with you this afternoon. My name is Dr. Asad Dean, and I'm with Texas Oncology in Fort Worth. I grew up here in Texas and have been in practice for the past 14 years. Texas Oncology is an oncologic organization across the state, and please do access our website at www.texasoncology.com to have additional information about our oncology practices as well as the quality services that we provide here close to home.
Thank you so much, Dr. Dean. All right, so we'll get started. So other than skin cancer, prostate cancer is the most common cancer in among American men. The American Cancer Societies estimate that for prostate cancer in the U.S. for 2017, there's about 160,000 new cases of prostate cancer and about 26,000 deaths from prostate cancer. About one in seven men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer during his lifetime. Can you tell us what is prostate cancer and who is at risk?
Yes, prostate cancer is a malignant growth of the prostate gland. This growth can continue, and there's opportunity of it to spread through the lymphatic channels and metastasize to other organs. Those individuals who are at risk of developing prostate cancer, first and foremost, if you're male, and the risk increases over as you advance in age. So individuals who are between ages 60 to 79 have the reported 1 in 7 risk, as you stated. But prostate cancer can also affect younger men, and so it's very important that if you have a family history, you could be at risk of developing prostate cancer earlier. Also, African Americans, prostate cancer is more commonly seen in comparison to Caucasians, and it can be more lethal. So those are some of the risk factors, as well as hereditary genes that can be associated with prostate cancer development.
Oh, very interesting. So in people with family history of prostate cancer, how soon should they start getting tested for or screened for prostate cancer?
So if an individual is diagnosed with prostate cancer at a young age, then their risk for their sons is certainly increased. It's recommended that if there is a family history to start prostate cancer screening, which would be a PSA, prostate-specific antigen blood test, in addition to a digital rectal examination to examine the prostate at age 40.
Okay, age 40. And what are the signs and symptoms of prostate cancer? What should patients look for?
Oftentimes, a patient can be asymptomatic. It would be an elevation in the PSA blood test. But patients may have difficulty with urine stream. Mm-hmm. They may have fatigue. And if the cancer is further advanced, bone pain and neurologic symptoms could result with more advanced and metastatic prostate cancer.
You mentioned bone pain. What is that like? What are the symptoms for that?
Bone pain can affect any of the bones within the skeletal, and it is typically a constant, persistent pain that can impair a patient's ability to function as well as impede their activities. So it's a new onset discomfort that is sort of a deep-seated comfort as well that they may encounter.
Okay, very interesting. All right, folks, to be a part of the conversation, please call us at 972-235-5555. Today, the topic is prostate and testicular cancer. All right, we'll move right along. So, Dr. Dean, how reliable are the screening tests for prostate cancer? I think there's been controversy in the past about the PSA level. What are your thoughts?
You are correct. And not every rise in a PSA indicates that the individual has cancer. There can be other reasons that a PSA can be elevated. Those reasons include trauma to the prostate, an infection of the prostate, enlargement of the prostate, most commonly called BPH or benign prostatic hypertrophy. So they may give you an elevation of the PSH, but there's no evidence of malignancy, although a biopsy is necessary to prove in the setting of an elevated PSA whether or not an individual has prostate cancer. The converse is also true, that 20% of cases can be diagnosed that an individual may have had a normal PSA. So that is also something to keep in mind, that the majority of the times the PSA, when it's normal, does not indicate that there is any concern. But there can be situations where a normal PSA may not reflect a developing malignancy.
Okay, very interesting. And now, how often should one get their PSA level checked? What's your recommendation on that?
It's currently recommended to have a PSA annually. Mm-hmm. Now, if, for example, it is elevated and it's a non-malignant cause, then you may want to check it again in several months to see that the PSA is declining.
Okay. All right, folks. Again, if you have any questions regarding prostate and testicular cancer, please call the studio at 972-235-5555. All right. So, Dr. Dean, what are the treatment options for early prostate cancer?
I think it's very important that you define early prostate cancer, because the earlier you detect the prostate cancer, the more likely you are going to enjoy a cure. Mm-hmm. And so for early prostate cancer, management can be divided into three different strategies. For those individuals who have low-risk prostate cancer, very slow-growing, non-aggressive disease, a watch-and-waiting approach could be appropriate. Mm-hmm. Most men, when they are diagnosed, either have a prostatectomy, that is a removal of the prostate, that can be done through a laparoscopic, minimally invasive method, or radiation, and there are different modes of radiation, which would include external beam radiation, seed implants, as well as proton therapy, which has been the latest advance. Mm-hmm. For some men who have higher risk prostate cancer, there may be a role to incorporate hormonal therapy earlier. Mm-hmm. So it's necessary to have the appropriate consultants involved for the patients to discuss all their options and choices in dealing with their early prostate cancer.
And what are some of the side effects of some of these treatments that you've mentioned?
So for surgery, side effects can be impairment of sexual function. It can be urinary incontinence. With regards to radiation, most commonly patients may experience fatigue. Those are some examples of side effects. If an individual requires hormonal therapy, then hot flashes, decreased libido, decreased energy can be seen.
Okay. Great. Well, we're going to take a live caller. Hi, welcome to Doc Talk Live. What is your question for our expert today? Hello? Oh, we lost the caller. Okay. All right, again, if you have questions regarding prostate and testicular cancer, please call our studio at 972-235-5555.
Dr. Dean, just to follow up, this is a personal question. How is proton therapy different from external beam radiation?
That's a good question. Proton therapy, you are using a different particle, and it's a much more honed-in, focused, directed treatment in comparison to external beam therapy. And there are specific centers that deliver proton therapy, and we are fortunate to have that available to patients with localized prostate cancer as a treatment option.
All right, we'll take a live caller. Hi, welcome to Doc Talk Live. What is your question? Hello?
Hey, I would like to know. Hello?
Yes,
can you hear me?
We can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to know, you know, is the lifestyle changes or any sedentary lifestyle, will that also lead to the prostate cancer, or can it be one of the symptoms?
Thank you.
You know, that is such an important point, is lifestyle risks and modifications. And what has been shown with prostate cancer in studies is that an individual who is not sedentary, who is active, who is exercising, is at less of a risk to develop prostate cancer than an individual who is sedentary. So it is important to exercise, to incorporate fitness in your lifestyle. Everyone is busy and has busy lifestyles as well as the stresses of daily life, but incorporation of exercise and fitness can help you reduce your risk of developing prostate cancer.
All right. Thank you very much. Again, if you have questions about prostate cancer or testicular cancer, please call the studio at 972-235-5555. So we will move on to the next cancer. Dr. Dean, the American Cancer Society estimates for testicular cancer in the United States for 2017, there's about 8,800 new cases of testicular cancer and over 400 deaths from this type of cancer. But this cancer is not common. About one of every 260 males will develop testicular cancer at some point during their lifetime. Can you explain to us what is testicular cancer and what are the risk factors? And we have 1 minute, so we'll probably go back to this question when we get back from the break.
Yes, testicular cancer is an abnormal growth, malignant growth that is found on the testicle. Now, the risk factors for development of testicular cancer, one is an undescended testicle, that is, it is retained within the abdomen. Two, genetic syndromes such as Klinefelter syndrome. Three, HIV. Those are some examples of risk factors associated with testicular cancer.
Thanks, Dr. Dean. Again, folks, we're approaching our break, but please call in with your questions. The studio number is 972-235-5555. We'll be back in a few minutes. Thanks so much. Welcome back to Doc Talk Live, a live call-in health show brought to you by Zaya Healthcare Group, a leader in providing senior living, home health care, and hospice-related services throughout the entire DFW Metroplex. Our second sponsor is Dallas Renal Group, a physician group that Dr. Paul Cespedes and I belong to. Dallas Renal Group provides comprehensive kidney care, including transplant and home dialysis services. Information can be found on dallasrenalgroup.com or on the Dallas Renal Group Facebook page. I'm Dr. Arce, and I'm co-hosting today's show with Dr. Paul Cespedes. We are live in the studio with Dr. Asad Dean, discussing prostate cancer and testicular cancer. The number to the studio is 972-235-5555. Okay, so we had a few calls during the break, and one caller wanted to ask again about the sign and symptoms of prostate cancer. So Dr. Dean, could you review that for this caller, please?
Yes. Oftentimes when an individual is diagnosed with prostate cancer, they're asymptomatic. Their blood work might reveal an abnormality, which would be an elevation in the PSA, which stands for prostate-specific antigen. But symptoms that can occur as a prostate cancer develops or spreads can be difficulty with urine stream, hesitancy with urination. You can see bone pain if the cancer is spread to the bones, which is the most common location that they spread in addition to lymph nodes. And if the cancer grows, for example, within a backbone, then there is the threat to the spinal cord, and that can cause neurologic dysfunction. So sudden onset weakness, sudden onset back pain could herald a more serious presentation of advanced prostate cancer. But most of the time, it's asymptomatic with a lab abnormality.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you so much. So right before the break, we started to discuss more about testicular cancer. So Dr. Dean, what are some of the risk factors for testicular cancer? You kind of started to discuss that, and then we had to go on the break. So if you could review that for us, that'd be great.
Yes, testicular cancer affects young men most commonly between the ages of 15 and 35. And risk factors that can be associated with this malignancy in younger population of men can be if they had a history of an undescended testicle. When testicles develop in fetal development, they form within the abdomen and then they descend. If that descent doesn't occur, then they are at a high risk of development of testicular cancer. Now, if that testicular is surgically descended, there still is a risk, although it is decreased, but you can still have a risk even if you have a surgical descent of the testicle. HIV, as well as genetic syndromes such as Klinefelter syndrome, can also be risk factors for this malignancy.
Oh, thank you so much. All right, we'll take a live caller. Hi, welcome to Doc Talk Live. Go ahead with your question for our medical expert.
Yeah, I had a question. So what are the chances of a son getting this prostate cancer based on father having that cancer?
Thank you very much.
The only question I would ask is, what was the age of the father at the time of the diagnosis? Because how that can influence the risk is as follows. If the father was diagnosed age 50 or under, then that risk for the son is much higher than if he were diagnosed in his 70s. Again, the screening, if there is a history of prostate cancer in the father, is to start screening the son, the sons to be screened at age 40.
All right, thank you. So going back to testicular cancer, Dr. Dean, what are the signs and symptoms of this type of cancer? How is it diagnosed?
So testicular cancer oftentimes is noted as a lump on the testicle. There may be a dull ache associated with this, or it may be painless. When there's more advanced disease, patients may have back pain, but the most common presentation is an abnormal lump that can be seen or felt by the individual.
So if someone feels a lump, what's the next step? What should they do?
To diagnose a testicular cancer, an ultrasound is done. Mm-hmm. And if an ultrasound shows a solid mass, then the patient is referred to a urologist, and then that urologist removes the testicle. You do not biopsy a testicular mass, which is different from other tumor types. You remove the entire testicle if a solid mass is noted. And the reason for that is because if you biopsy the testicle, there can be seeding and tracking of the tumor. So once a radiographic ultrasound shows a solid mass, then the next step should be a referral to a urologist to remove the testicle.
All right, thank you so much. We're going to take a live caller. Hi, welcome to Doc Talk Live. Go ahead with your question for our medical expert.
Yeah, I have a question. You know, we have like the normal back aches and all, but we don't know if that's related to any cancer or something. So how do we take precautions, and how do we do a full body checkup on cancer if we have anything in our body?
So for prostate cancer, the current recommendations from American Cancer Society is that at age 50, for individuals without a history of prostate cancer, to be screened with a PSA blood test as well as a examination of the prostate. For testicular cancer, the recommendations for screening, and I actually wrote a abstract back in the late 90s where I sampled young college men at Cornell University to determine the rate of testicular cancer screening. And it was interesting because at that university, the rate of testicular cancer screening was higher than the general population. And the chairman of internal medicine stated to me when I presented that, he said, well, that shouldn't surprise you. It's Cornell University. So Testicular cancer can also be screened, and it is examination of a young man of his testicle to make sure that there is no abnormal growth, and if there is, then to seek medical attention. Aside from that, those are the main recommendations for those two types of malignancies pertaining to screening.
So, Dr. Dean, with testicular cancer, do you recommend young men to do like a self-exam on a regular basis? Or, I mean,
I do think that if you are in the ages between 15 and 35, which that is the highest risk population, that it is important to do so. Early detection leads to cure, and I will also state that testicular cancer is one of the few malignancies that therapy has been developed that can cure this cancer. So the earlier you detect and you recognize an abnormality, the better off you will be in the long run.
All right, thank you. And Dr. Dean, are there any lifestyle habits that seem to have a positive correlation with this type of cancer? Like, does carrying a cell phone in your pocket or using a laptop computer increase the risk of developing testicular cancer in the future?
You know, it's interesting you bring up the topic of cell phones because it's indispensable in our lives these days. And there have been some studies that cell phones do cause damage to the sperm. And so while there may not be a direct risk at this time that we know of, there can be damages that occur to the testicles. And so it would be important to not have the phone on and within proximity constantly and consistently next to the testicles because there could be potential damage to that organ.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, we're going to take a live caller.
Hi,
this is welcome to Doc Talk Live. Go ahead with your question.
So I have a question. If the older brother has gone or died through the prostate cancer, do you think that the younger brother, it's a hereditary disease or what?
So that's a good question because there are a small percentage of patients who do have a hereditary basis. About 9% of prostate cancers can be hereditary, and particularly when a man is diagnosed at a much younger age, that likelihood of a genetic susceptibility can be as high as 40%. So in your situation where you have family members who have had prostate cancer and who have been affected by that disease, then your risk clearly is higher than the general population. Again, it's all age-related because prostate cancer is more common in older men compared to younger men. But if a man is diagnosed at a young age, then the issue is going to be a greater risk for the subsequent family members. And so that's why screening is going to be that much more important for you and your family members.
Okay, thank you so much. We're going to take another live caller. Hi, welcome to Doc Talk Live. What is your question for our medical expert today?
I just wanted to ask, we were talking about, for testicular cancer, removing the testicle. Does that, what kind of risk factors we have afterward, and can that lead to any other diseases?
Okay. Thank you very much.
You know, after an individual has a testicle removed, they can have a normal existence functioning with one testicle. So you bring up an issue about fertility. And fortunately, a male can still be fertile with one testicle. Now, if an individual requires chemotherapy or radiation to treat their testicular cancer, then you want to preserve the sperm for potential later use which could be related to damage to treatment. And sperm banking is very important to do if an individual is going to receive treatment. Also, if the patient is going to receive radiation, there is testicular shielding to protect the remaining testicle. But in terms of long-term risk from having a testicle removed, no further risk, and an individual can lead a healthy and normal existence with one testicle.
Okay, thank you so much. Dr. Dean, I do get a lot of questions from my patients about if they're at risk, if they're at higher risk of developing testicular cancer if they've had a vasectomy in the past. Is that true?
Rest can be put into the fact that no, there is no increased risk of a vasectomy leading to an increased risk in testicular cancer. Okay. However, with regards to prostate cancer, there have been some studies that have shown that there is a risk for development of low-grade prostate cancers that have a better prognosis, and then other studies that have failed to show a risk for prostate cancer. So the answer is vasectomy does not increase risk for testicular, and it's unclear whether or not it increases the risk for prostate cancer.
Very good. All right, we're going to take a live caller. Hi, welcome to Doc Talk Live. What is your question for our medical expert?
Yeah, hi. You talked about the lifestyle just affects the PSA and the level and all this thing that you the post cancer. Is there any the lifestyle wise? Is there any sexual activity frequency that affect the post cancer rate or the risk?
That is a very interesting question because that has been looked at, and for individuals who have had greater sexual activity, their risk of development of prostate cancer is less. So there have been investigations looking into that in particular and seeing if that could lead to a decreased risk for prostate cancer. So a very intriguing question that you ask.
All right, folks, so we're approaching the end of our show. Remember to log on to our website, doctalklive.com. That's D-O-C-T-A-L-K, live.com, to obtain more information about our show for not next week, but the following week, because we will be off the air next week for the Memorial Day holiday. So, Dr. Dean, any last-minute information that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I would like to thank Dr. Arce and Dr. Suspidus for the opportunity to speak to you all. Knowledge is clearly power, and our ability to beat cancer is with knowledge. The sooner you know things, the better off you are, and the better off we will be able to fight this vicious foe, and we will win.
Thank you so much.
The preceding program was a paid program. The content and claims were that of the programmer. Funasia does not necessarily agree with, endorse, or take responsibility for any of the claims or promises implied or otherwise made in this program.
You're listening to KZMP 104.9 FM, Pilot Point, Dallas-Fort Worth. Funasia Radio, powered by Tara Energy.